Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
I do want to make sure we touch more on Blumel, though, because I feel like this was one of the main things that I came away from today thinking about, because it just made me kind of reconfigure the depth chart a little bit in my head. I don't know if you guys felt like that, too, because comments that Sturm made about what kind of a player he was in the AHL. And if we haven't covered Blumel a whole lot, but I know we mentioned it in the middle of the summer at some point, that he was the leading goal scorer in the AHL. So this is a guy who has 39 goals and 72 points in 67 games last season, over a point per game average in the AHL, got a few games in the NHL, didn't feel like he got enough games with Dallas. I said it was frustrating when we talked to him today, but Sturm said, of course, being a coach of an AHL team, the Ontario Reign in LA's organization last year, he had seen him and he had to game plan against him, you know. He said he's the kind of guy that in the AHL, he's the guy you worry about. You go through tape. You try to make sure he's covered. And I'll just read the quote from Sturm on him today. He said, he's one of the guys where you had to make sure we're going to cover this guy because he's such a good shooter and scorer, especially on the power play. Says he sets up where Leon Draisaitl likes to hang out. He has that spot, and he was so dangerous. So his scoring at that level is elite, right? But he's getting a lot of time on ice. He's getting 20-plus minutes of ice time. Then he comes to the NHL and he's getting 7-8 minutes of ice time. So it's just hard to get in the groove that way. So we'll see. I mean, if there's that already built-in respect from Sturm on what he can be because he's seen him at that level, mm-hmm. and he's pairing him with Zacha, and he's thinking, and he also, he mentioned he's kind of a shoot first guy. He's not gonna defer the way that we were talking about. There's a lot of guys in the top six that defer. Maybe he does try to put him and Zacha together because Zacha's a setup guy. Blumel is a shooter. So yeah. I was thinking just the way that the lines were set up today, obviously without Pasta and with Mittelstadt not on the, you know, not in a second line kind of like combination. Yeah. What if he goes like Blumel, Zacha, Arvidsson, and it's just like two shoot first guys and Zacha is a setup guy as a center. We're not sure if he's mostly going to be playing wing or center or what, right, and what they want to do with Mittelstadt, but maybe Mittelstadt gets bumped out and it's Zacha centering, something like that.
Yeah. Also worth noting that today the other wing on that line was Tanner Janot. So that's taking a look at Janot in kind of a more offensive spot versus a checking line type of role. Like, Janot was not in that fourth line or, you know, the one of the extra lines. Like, he was in a scoring role. And I think we expect, like, Tanner Janot's going to be in the top nine to start. I have very real questions about whether that works, because this is a guy who hasn't had more than 17 points in 3 years. So I don't know what you're really going to get there, but that is where he was today.
Yeah, there's this repeated talk about his leadership and why that's important, and why, like, almost a lot of the guys that they brought in, including Arvidsson, it's been talked about that, but I feel like it keeps coming up. Oh, Janot's a good guy in the room. Janot's going to be good for... So we'll see.
Yeah, and you have to be able to play on the ice too. But yes, it matters having that. It matters having locker room presence. And it's funny, because even if he does go down to the fourth line at some point, there were times where just in certain non-line rush drills where players were just kind of randomly paired up. Like, there was times where I'd see Janot and Kastelic out there together, and I'm like, that's a lot of meat on that line. I would not want to be a defenseman with those two out there with, like, Sean Corrali. And that's a big line. But
Asimon is kind of a pest too.
He is. And so, yeah, there's a lot that needs to play out. What I'll say about Blumel is, Bridget, you're right to bring up the fact that Sturm also in the same breath mentioned that he wouldn't be able to do what he does at the AHL level. At the NHL level, he's not given the proper minutes, because it is about touches and ice time and rhythm and feel. And so it makes sense why the Bruins could sit there and say, well, he's a great AHL scorer, so he'd be a good third or fourth liner for us. And then say, but that doesn't work because that's not what he's accustomed to. So maybe, if anything, we'll give him a potential look at top 6 minutes with Zacha. And what I'll say about Blumel is, he's out there and he has some swag. He has some confidence. Like, he you watch him and he looks like somebody who knows that, you know, he's got some good skill. Now, whether that translates or not, we'll find out. But there are certain players, and you guys will understand where I'm going with this. It's just, it's hard to pinpoint it, but he just kind of has a level of swagger out there about himself.
Yeah, he does. And, like, we heard it afterwards too, when we talked to him in the locker room. We're like, he has a lot of confidence in himself. He was asked if, you know, it was frustrating to not get more NHL opportunity in Dallas. And, you know, did he think he deserved it? And, like, he was like, yeah, like, I do think I deserved it. I think I played really well in the AHL. And yes, it was frustrating to not get more NHL time. So it's like, yeah, that's a guy that clearly views himself as an NHLer, even if he has not been that as a regular yet.
And, like, clearly extremely passionate about making his dream come true in the NHL. Like, I that seems like an obvious thing to say, but, like, even in his so he has this really crazy tattoo on his arm. Like, he kind of started showing people what some of the stuff was, and he has, like,
it doesn't say skate pod, does it?
he said he's getting that added. Okay. In the next couple weeks.
Next.
He has to find a place in Boston.
Yeah, well, he's gonna have to do it on his other arm, because this whole arm was covered. But like, he has, like, Texas, like, in the middle of it, of what was kind of like a tribal, like, Hawaiian looking tattoo. And it had, like, a little star in Dallas, because that was where he played his first NHL game. So it was like, he literally tattooed it on himself, you know, how much that meant to him. And he just seems like he's absolutely not going to go down without a fight this training camp. So, and he did seem to have some confidence. His English is great. He's from the Czech Republic. Obviously, like, a lot was made of his connection to Pasternak and Zacha, but
I don't want to derail us too much, Scott, because I know you're in the middle of a thought, but I'm also curious. He must have an outside slash pretty good chance of maybe cracking a lineup or a roster spot for the Czech Olympic team, no? Especially if he ends up making the NHL roster.
That's a good question. I mean, he's played for them at Worlds, so, like, he's obviously on their radar. He has played at the international level. Mm-hmm. I would have to go through, but, I mean, you're probably right, because that Czech team, like, I remember when looking at it, I don't know, last year, I think looking at it, like, leading up to Four Nations, of what that team could have been had they been in that tournament, and it does taper off quite a bit towards the bottom of the roster.
Well, I
so,
think,
like,
Lauko would be, like, in consideration.
Lauko would be on the team,
yeah,
for sure,
so.
I think. Yeah, so
totally different kinds
you
of
would
players,
have to but, think, yeah. Like, anyone who's, especially if he sticks in the NHL and plays NHL games this year, like, that alone puts him on probably a pretty good chance of being on that team. I also want to make sure, like, just so we don't bury this too much, but It's also very notable that Zacha and Mittelstadt were both centers today on different lines, because I think we and a lot of people were thinking, like, well, probably Mittelstadt and Zacha together on your second line and, you know, try to make that work. Maybe Zacha probably bumps over to the wing. Well, I think maybe our first hint that they might do this instead was Flutischenshauer had an article in The Athletic a few days ago where he had sat down for like a video session with Marco Sturm, and Sturm was talking about different things about how he wants to play. He was talking about centers and how, you know, they have to play in the D zone, and he kind of ran through the list of centers and obviously Elias Lindholm, but then he included both Zacha and Mittelstadt, and then mentioned like Fraser Minton, Sean Corrali. So included this whole list, but it was clear like he was at least thinking about Zacha as a potential center. And then that's where he was day one of practice. Now, Sturm did also say after practice that there's guys who are going to get looks at center and wing. Like he mentioned, Matt Patra will get that. Patra was a center today, but he'll get a look at wing at some point as well. So these things can be fluid and still move around, but I do think we probably hadn't talked too much, but might have to start talking about like the possibility that maybe it's whether it's Mittelstadt 2C, Zacha 3C, or vice versa. Like maybe we're not looking at 3C being Fraser Minton versus Sean Corrali versus Matt Patra. Like maybe the competitions are more on the wings and it's Zacha and Mittelstadt are both centers.
And we did mention late spring, early summer, especially when we're going over some potential off-season acquisitions that they could do. We did talk about the idea of Casey Mittelstadt potentially being a third-line center for the Bruins, and because that could, you might feel better about the Bruins center depth if he's your third C than your second C. But
I feel certainly like if and there are probably more guys that are in competition for those wingers. Like if you think about Patra as a winger, you think, you know, maybe different guys that are natural centers you could plug in there, and you keep Mittelstadt in his natural role at center. Like it does feel like there could be more depth if you spread them out, because we talked about this last episode. Yeah. Outside of the six forwards that are penciled in top six, like the scoring really drops off if you look at last year's statistics, and that's a way to do that a little bit. And maybe so, all right, to kind of bring it back to something I said earlier where Blumel was matched with Zacha as like a shot first guy, like that he could be a shot first guy on a line, a second or a third line, something like that. Maybe they match Arvidsson with one of those guys. Maybe they match someone like Blumel with one of those guys. And those are the Mittelstadts and the Zachas are the playmakers. And then they have somebody who's going to be focused on shot volume and, you know, getting to the net as the other guys that they put with them.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to watch how it all plays out during camp, because it is kind of difficult to really get a true pulse. So over the next few weeks, for sure, we'll figure this out. But I do want to quickly go over some of the players that are on the bubble, which it appears that there's many, but get your guys' opinion on who sees the day and who may not have. Now, I'll say this off the hop. Across both sessions, I don't think there was one player that...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines. Whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/2400 to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Didn't play well. I just think that there were some players that I didn't really notice, and that could just mean that they were keeping up, right? They weren't bad. They're out there, and there were a couple of players that I did notice a few times, and I said, okay, you're showing yourself well here. Good for you. I don't think I noticed Matt Patra too much out there. And again, he was on an interesting line combination. I do think it's worth noting, although it's day one of camp, he was playing with two players that are penciled in for Providence. Now, again, maybe tomorrow and over the weekend he's with Bruins, Boston Bruins line mates, but we'll see. But it was notable, and in doing so, I don't think he stood out much. I don't think Fraser Minton had a very loud day. I don't think that, I'll leave it there. Johnny Beecher didn't have a loud day. I thought Cousy was one of those guys who was, he was not above the rest, but he was not somebody I'd say didn't have a good, I thought he was totally fine. I think honestly, Fabian Lysell was pretty noticeable today.
Exactly who I was going to go to.
He was throwing his weight around on these forechecking drills that Scott alluded to earlier. I thought Lysell was making an absolute effort to be physical, and I thought Loschmelis was, he was, I would say, average with everybody else for the most part, but there was one drill in particular down the far end in front of where the Bruins brass stands, and he was it was a down low, 3-on-2 situation, and he was in a battle with McAvoy for about 15 seconds holding the puck off from him and eventually into a scoring opportunity. So that right in front of the Bruins brass to see Loschmelis, protecting the puck and taking the, making something happen against McAvoy was notable. And somebody else who didn't really do much at all was just out there. To be honest, if I didn't see him in the skate arounds, I wouldn't even notice he was out there at all, was Georgi Mirkulov. Didn't really notice him out there much either. So not to read too much into these things. Again, nobody had a bad day, but I would say Lysell of the bubble guys may have had the best day of all of them.
Yeah, I thought Fabian Lysell made a really good case for himself today. Like you mentioned, he was getting in there on the forecheck. He was taking the body. And even beyond what he was doing when he was the F1 on the forecheck, the first guy in, when he was F2, he was taking really good angles and like went just taking the puck cleanly and then setting up someone in the slot. So he looked like a guy who like knew exactly where to be, had good stick position, and was just coming away with the puck cleanly. Whereas like a lot of times those just lead to tie ups and then it's kind of a battle, and like he was just coming out of it with the puck, which is what you want to see. Like if he can do that with his speed to get there on time, like that's a big step towards him being an effective player at whatever level he's at, but especially in the NHL potentially.
And that's a shoot first guy. I mean, that's seems like if he can, and he's fast too, right? Like he fits into the things that they want. If it clicks for him, if he gets it, there's a spot for him.
Yeah, I mean, his ceiling is, if we're talking these bubble players, right? If we're talking Blumel, Patra, Steves, Minton, Husnadinov, Beach, like there's so many of them, right? But Lysell's ceiling is probably higher than all of theirs, if we're talking his ceiling. But his inconsistencies and at times just immaturity, just seizing the moment, has gotten in the way. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If he can be consistent and reach his ceiling, I think his ceiling is probably higher than the guys we mentioned. But if you can't reach your ceiling, then you know, what are you, right? So, yeah, it'll be interesting
like,
to see.
Even just, like, show improvement, right? Like, show progress towards fix, not, like, in his game, it's, like, the all-around game. Not necessarily the offensive game for him, because that's what we've seen him do well at.
Well, but it is the offense too, because we've seen him like use his speed, but then like skate into trouble and like not be able to create out of it. So it is also his offense, and that's something where like just bigger picture, and like maybe there's a story to be written about. Like I just wonder about how he was developed, where there was like there's been so much of this emphasis on Lysell's like rounding out his game and smart details and defense and all that. And I'm like, did it almost get lost somewhere of like maximizing his offense, like maximizing what he actually does well? Because I've just, whether it was in Providence or the games he was up here, it's like there's times where it looks like he gets going on the attack and then like doesn't really know the next thing to do. Like doesn't really know how to finish the play into. And I don't just mean, like, finish in terms of scoring. I mean, like, convert a rush out wide into a scoring chance. So I do think there's, like, there's stuff offensively there that has to be better than it's been in the past, yeah, too.
Like, he gets indecisive sometimes where he doesn't know if he wants to shoot or pass. And if you can't figure out what you want to do because you have the ability to do both, well, the time and space is gone now, and so he has to be more decisive, more direct, more purposeful. I'm getting this puck on net regardless, or I'm passing it right away. And the other thing he has to do too is he needs to not keep plays alive. You cannot be one and done. If you're not just going to go up and down the ice with scoring chances and you know, score or not score an angle, like, you have to be able to have the ability to extend plays in the offensive zone, and you do so by holding on to pucks, you know, when you don't have anything, right? So those things, certainly I did not, you know, none of us had the ability to see that on display today, right? I'm not saying that those things are there yet. All I'm saying is that in the little time I saw of him today, I thought he definitely did well in his name today. But there's a lot that we need to see, and the Bruins need to see in game situations throughout camp before, you know, he has a spot in this team.
A couple other guys, one positive, one on the quieter side. On the quieter side, I thought Alex Steeves, I saw get bumped off the puck a couple times. In my mind, probably a little too easily. Like, he's not small. He's 6 feet, I think, like 196. So, but you know, where we're talking about, like, he's kind of in the same boat as Blumel, where he spent a lot of time in the AHL, has put up a lot of points in the AHL, hasn't gotten a lot of NHL opportunity, and you know, whereas, like, I think today was a good day for Blumel on the ice, yes, but even more importantly, like, just in terms of where he's lined up and how Marco Sturm sees him, I thought it was maybe not the best day for Steves in terms of trying to make a great first impression as he pushes for a roster spot. And then the other guy I thought had a really great day, may very well have been the best player on the ice. It's, you know, a little bit of an obvious one, but Morgan Geeky.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Meant to say him, too.
Was great today, like
midseason form.
Yeah, like he had. They were doing 2-on-2, like in zone drills, and he was shielding off Nikita Zadorov like vintage Charlie Coyle style, like just protecting the puck, holding on, making good passes to set up whoever he was with. Had a couple of nice finishes. He roofed one on Swayman from like above the dot. So yeah, I thought it was a really good day for Geeky.
His release is pretty stupid. Yeah. Like you watch him out there, and obviously Pasternak wasn't out there. He's another guy that has a stupid release, obviously world class. But you watch Geeky over two sessions. Now, granted, yeah, half the guys out there are minor leaguers, right? Maybe even more so. But still, it's the gap between his release and the next best release out there is pretty sizable. So he was somebody who was sharp right away, and you're right to bring him up, Scott.
Yeah, and we talked to him today, too. So he's, I'll just say, like, I forgot how calm and, like, easy he is to talk to. He's really, you know, very thoughtful with his answers as well. And gave some pretty good answers about what he worked on, what he wanted to get better at. Said that he was really down on himself in the beginning of last season. And he had, you know, he was thanks to some of the players and coaching staff that helped him get out of his funk, because he... like, as we know, he got off to a slower start, and then all of a sudden he turned it into his best season production-wise ever, and it turned into this big contract where now he has a little bit of that safety. So his mindset going into this season, I feel, is probably pretty different than it was last year. He now has that comfortable contract. He said Boston was, as you know, through the two seasons being here, it was where he decided he really wanted to be long-term. And now that he knows he's with Pasternak, probably, like, that makes the most sense. He knows he's a first-line guy. He knows he overcame what other coaches had been trying to pin him into a fourth-line role, and that's not who he is here. Like, he always has had that chip on his shoulder trying to show people he's not that. He's now accomplished that, so we'll see if the confidence is right where it left off last year with that line playing well.
Because we're talking about Geeky, and you also mentioned release. One of the sets Geeky had in those 2-on-2 drills was to set up a Victor Arvidsson one-timer, again, from like kind of between the dot and the top of the circle. I think he'd gotten a little separation Arvidsson had from Joki Haru in coverage, and he just ripped, like, not a full one-timer, but like a kind of like a drag snap one-timer into the top corner past Swayman. So, that stood out as well. I wouldn't go so far as to say, like, Arvidsson was amazing or, like, really jumped off the page, but he did have a couple nice shots.
Well, and if Geeky gets off to a better start than he had last year and he's spending the whole season or thereabouts with Pastrnak, I don't see any reason why he couldn't or won't eclipse his numbers from last year. And I mean, obviously, it's the best that he's done so far, so it's the one-year sample. But
I mean, his shooting percentage was high, so, like, the analytics would tell you, like, shooting percentage tends to level off year to year, so that would be the one argument against it, is, like,
but, like, if
just
he
some
had,
of the shots might not go in.
If he had of the first month and a half, two months back, like, to playing at the level he was, it would, you know, you could logically think he adds another five or so goals or something.
Right, like, maybe he doesn't have the shooting percentage he had last year, but he also doesn't have 5 points until December. So maybe they just kind of balance each other on it. The one thing I'll say,
by the way, like, also, we've brought this up before, too, but it also makes you think of, like, what number can David Pastrnak get to if he starts well? Because, like, he was also off to, we talked about it, like, what was it, like, a month and a half in, he was on pace for, like, 60-something points.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He got, obviously, super hot from December on, too.
And the good thing, and I understand when people bring up the caution around don't be too optimistic or too set on Morgan Geeky being what he was last year because of that high shooting percentage. But I will say this, he's also more than just a good shot. Like, he and Scott referred to holding off Zadorov and making a nice play. And that was an extensive hold off. That was, like, probably 20 seconds. And he did show the ability to make plays last year, too.
I was waiting for Zadorov to, like, cross-check. I was like, if this was a game, Zadorov's probably just cross-checking him at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Geeky can become not just a great release, but just a legit power forward, that's... we'll take that. Like,
I mean,
of course.
Like that.
Yeah. But again, like, when Boston got him, he wasn't that. He was a player who Sweeney took a chance on, looked at a player who hadn't been given, you know, probably the right opportunity and fit to succeed in Carolina and Seattle. And in Boston, it's taken some time to get to where he is now as well. And now that he's starting to become that, what I'm saying is maybe now we're starting to see what the ultimate finished product of him is going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I know there's a lot of people who will always, you know, point out when Sweeney messes up on an acquisition or identifying someone, but this was obviously one that he got right. Like, knew there was more there, knew there was a fit, gave, and the organization, not just Sweeney, but coaches and everyone gave him that chance to prove it, and he did, and now he's here, obviously on a bigger contract. When they first got him, was it $2 million a year he was on, and he was getting paid like a fourth liner, and then he ends up on your first line.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of Sweeney's best free agent signings. And, like, now you see how the next contract plays out, right? Because sometimes those two things can be a little different depending on how that goes. Like, Charlie Coyle was one of his best trades. And Charlie Coyle was... the contract Coyle signed was fine. Like, I think it was probably a little overpaid, but, like, not too bad. But, like, that soured some people where, like, the years where Coyle maybe was a little quieter, it felt like he was overpaid. But, you know, ultimately, I think that contract was fine. And I think Morgan Geeky's contract will be fine because I don't think he's going to come, like, crashing back down to what he was. Like I said, like, maybe there's a slight dip here and there. But, yeah, I think there's a good player there. I think there's a top six NHL forward.
What is he, 26 years old? 27?
Yeah, I think so.
And there's certainly a floor when you're playing with Pastrnak. Like, his floor is said to be much higher because he's playing with Pastrnak in terms of point production.
Right. No, yeah, it's fair. It's fair. But, yeah, I mean, and the reason I ask his age is you can make the argument that Geeky's not in his prime yet. He's approaching his prime, you know, right now. But, I mean, when you gain confidence at the NHL level and you start to become that player who's in their prime, and now you're going up against kids that are 6-7 years younger than you, you start to feel like it's your league and not a league that you're trying to figure out, right? And that's why players, when they're in their primes, that it's the best hockeys of their careers, because they feel like they're at that age where they're not beyond their best years, but they also have a leg up on the younger kids because they're still learning about the league, and you just find that sweet spot. And I think Geeky's approaching that.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.